Fight Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down. SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're talking NFL football right now as J.J. Watt signs with the Arizona Cardinals. And a lot of people are wondering why he signed with Arizona. But Arizona have a lot of talent. And they have a lot of... they've got a lot of character players in that room right now, right? And DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt had a good relationship in Houston. Don't think for a second that DeAndre didn't have a massive impact on J.J. Watt going to Arizona. The fact of the matter is Vance Joseph is the defensive coordinator, and he was a longtime coach with the Houston Texans, an assistant to Wade Phillips. J.J. Watt has a good relationship with Vance Joseph. There's a lot of boxes that get checked off as far as J.J. Watt was concerned. Talent on the football team, quarterback, star quarterback. He believes in Kyler Murray. He believes in Kingsbury as the coach. It's an interesting choice when you had your choice, basically. Like, J.J. Watt, I'm sure, could have taken less money and sign with a Buffalo Bills, sign with the Green Bay Packers. So it's interesting that he decides on the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not sitting here telling you I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl. But 2 years ago, when Kyler Murray was drafted, I bought in. I didn't think there was any reason why Kyler Murray couldn't be successful. I had my reservations about Kingsbury at first, but I also bought in as far as Kingsbury was concerned. Everybody sort of mocked them in the first year, yet they were a pretty competitive football team. All right. Ironically enough, their offense wasn't very efficient, but the defense was pretty good. Now, last year, everybody accelerated Arizona into the playoffs. All right, people, oh, Arizona a playoff team, Arizona a playoff team. I actually told people, slow down, they're not a playoff team. They have Hopkins, they're getting better, but they're not a playoff team. We saw them hit the wall last year again. They hit the wall 2 years in a row. They're stockpiling talent. They had a ton of injuries last year as well. Arizona aren't winning the Super Bowl, but Arizona at plus 550, a lot of value to win that division. Bring it!
We should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're everywhere.
Radio,
the internet,
TV,
satellite,
and our mobile app.
We make it easy.
Like,
real easy.
In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about the college football that's back right now. Yeah, just take it. Just take it. Rick Saratello will join us. We'll talk NFL draft and J.J. Watt. Of course, J.J. Watt signs with the Arizona Cardinals. Two-year, $31 million deal to go along with Chandler Jones on the defensive line. That's quite a... and we'll see what happens with Reddick right now moving forward with Arizona. But they have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the football. And we know their offense will be fine. So I think Arizona actually are a dangerous football team that aren't getting enough respect right now. FanDuel's got division odds posted. Let's talk about this and more with George Kurtz, Sports Grid's very own George Kurtz. How you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing well, Gabe. How about you?
Always a pleasure, George. Thanks for joining us. So, how surprised were you? A lot of people were pretty surprised that J.J. Watt signed with Arizona. It wasn't one of the teams that people talked about. But I always say this, George. Whenever there's like a rumor about a player and he's linked to a bunch of teams, it never happens. It's always another team. And I remember the baseball player, Michael Barrett, the catcher at the time with the Expos, There was a rumor in the morning, and it was Peter Gammon said he was getting traded to the Cubs. And I said, hey, did you hear about the rumor? Gammon says you're getting moved to the Cubs. And he said, well, I know that means I know I'm not going to the Cubs. And he ended up getting traded to Oakland or whatever it was. So he ended up getting down. He ended up with the Cubs, actually. Or that was it. He was supposed, they said he was getting traded to Oakland and he ended up getting traded to Chicago. So the media is never really right with the teams. But, hey, it's an interesting choice, but there's a lot of reasons why he did it. I get why he did it. It makes sense to him.
I mean, I guess it does make sense to him. He got paid very well. He pretty much gets what he would have had in Houston had he stayed there for the next couple of years, $23 million guaranteed over two seasons. I mean, some very unflattering things have come out from you know, behind the scenes all of a sudden about J.J. Watt, that he's really just a stat monger, wasn't as good. I don't know how much I believe in that, but I don't know if I'm Arizona in this year where money's going to be a little tight. If I'm going to spend that kind of cash on J.J. Watt, 32 years old, does he have enough to give you to really justify $17 million this year?
I think, listen, I've never been on the J.J. Watt bandwagon as far as the off-the-field sort of hype, right? The godlike status. And listen, he did some great things for the city of Houston. But it was over the top in how the NFL media treats him like he is a six-time Super Bowl champion. But, come on, them bad-mouthing him like this on the way out is kind of comical, right? Like, that he's been there forever. We all know, yeah, he's a stat guy. He's a me guy. It is what it is. He likes the spotlight. He knows when the camera's on him. It is what it is. But he's also been a damn effective player, George. You can't take away the guy's numbers. And, in fact, him and Jones have racked up the most sacks. They've been the most consistent guys over the last few years.
Oh, no, listen, I like J.J. Watt. I just don't know in this, with what's going on now, with the cap going to be about $180 million, I don't know if I'm going to pay J.J. Watt $17. I mean, is he the final piece of the puzzle? That's what it seems to me. If you're signing J.J. Watt, you think he's the final piece of the puzzle. You know, and I think he's a helpful piece. I don't know if he's the final piece. Are they going to be able to add anything else now this offseason? I think that's where I'm going with this. I have no problem with the addition. I think he can help. But $17 million for a guy 32, you know, who doesn't rarely play 16 or 17 games now, you know, I don't. What is his over-under on games? 10.5?
Let me ask you, George.
You're paying a lot of money for a guy who's not. He's not going to play 17 games.
If he is so done, if he is so not good anymore, why was he double-teamed? And I'm playing devil's advocate here because I know he's not the player that he once was, but he was also in a bad situation. He was double-teamed more than any player in the National Football League last year. On 70% of his snaps, he was double-teamed, more than anyone in the NFL. Right? So if he sucked, they wouldn't still double-team him.
Well, that's true, and you bring up a great point with Chandler Jones there. He's not going to see many double teams. Sort of pick your poison there, right? Depending on how they line these two up. I imagine Watt's going to be in the middle more than anything else with Jones on the outside, and it will be a pick your poison guy. You know, do you double team Jones, or then you're letting Watt go one-on-one or vice versa? And maybe that's what the Cardinals wanted. And I don't really have an issue with that. I think on the field, that could work for them. Like I said, for me, I'm just not paying that kind of money. And next season will be different with the new television contracts. The cap's going to go up to Lord knows what it might go up to next year. You'd have money to burn. But I just don't know if I want to spend most of my offseason money this year on J.J. Watt. I was not sure, so sure I would have done that if I'm Arizona.
Yeah, but they're trying to win. Like, what are they? Who else should they have signed? They have the draft coming up. They've done a nice job at the draft table. They have a smart general manager. You know, they could, if you, what's their big weakness, Arizona? Like what's Arizona's big weakness, really? They've got to address the cornerback situation, right? They've got to get a defensive back. They've got to get better in the secondary. You know, that costs a lot of money as well. And there's no star DB that's taking a 2-year deal or anything like that. So they can address that in the draft. Arizona's defense is pretty good, George. They had a lot of injuries last year. They, you know, they really did. They got besieged on the defensive line and the linebacker position. It caught between COVID and between the injuries. Arizona had a lot of issues. I think their defense is going to be pretty nasty. So you say what? You expect, you only think J.J. Watt's going to play 10 games? Over under 10.5 games, you say?
I'd say somewhere around there. He gets hurt almost every season now. I mean, you look at his numbers, they back that up. He has a hard time staying healthy. I probably would have spent the money on the offensive line. if I'm Arizona. You'll try to address that in the draft, but that's tough with their drafting. Generally, if you want a top offensive line, you got to be top 10. Maybe someone will fall to you in the teens. That's where I would have gone if I'm then. Make sure you protect Kyler Murray there. I would have done things a little differently. It's only because of what's going on this year and the cap going down. It sort of eliminates what you can do. So that's my problem here. Only that. I like J.J. Watt as a player, and I do like the fact that you team him up with Chandler Jones. It is a pick your poison for the offense. Who are you going to double team? Who's going, it's going to be a problem. I have no doubt about that. But I think I would have done things a little differently. I don't hate it. I just think it's also a lot of money for a 32-year-old. $17 million. That's a damn lot of money for someone of his age. I don't hate it. I just I think I would have gone a different direction, though.
How old is Tom Brady?
What's your point?
Oh, he's still pretty good.
Quarterback and defensive end. It's two different things.
Yeah, George, like I said, you keep acting like he's 80 years old, J.J. Watt. Like I said, he was double-teamed more than anyone in the National Football League last year. So if he's so done, how come coaches were like, we better double-team him?
Well, he's only had 27 sacks, Gabe, over the last 5 years. I mean, he's double-teamed. He still only had 27 sacks over the last 5 years. That's six sacks a year.
How many sacks do you think he'll have this year? I'm going to say he has nine. I say he has nine sacks.
I was going to say somewhere on double digits, so I would have given you 9.5, maybe 8.5 as a play there. I think he'll do better with Chandler Jones. I do. He didn't have a lot of help on the line with the Texans, but I think health is also a part of that. My problem is I just don't think he's going to play
as
much.
Help. That's why he got double teamed as much, too. Not just that he's so great, but what's amazing, though, not only people realize this, since 2012, the most sacks in the National Football League. Number one, Chandler Jones. Number two, J.J. Watt.
That's amazing when you think about it.
Can they stay healthy? That's the key. Can they stay healthy? Now, here's somebody else. And, people always want to come out of the woodwork and stuff and be negative, like you, Kurtz, and be negative. But, all right, well, let me ask you. Would you rather be the Dallas Cowboys right now, your Cowboys, or the Arizona Cardinals? Who's in a better...
You don't want to be Dallas. Dallas is a mess. you never want to be Dallas with Jerry Jones and what they're doing there and how they've screwed up this Dak Prescott thing.
JJ Watt didn't sign with Dallas.
Well, Dallas can't sign anybody. Dallas is signing nobody. They don't have enough cap room to sign anybody. I mean, when they sign Dak, even the franchise tag for Dak's going to put them well over.
So J.J. Watt has played in 128 games, and he's missed 32 in his career. Von Miller's played in 135 and missed 24. Chandler Jones has missed 20 games. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This is the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad, because here we are. Late Night Anger Management Class. I am Renzi. George Kurtz kicking it with us. So George is anti-J.J. Watt right now. And if you look at J.J. Watt's numbers, and I talked about it. So J.J. Watt was double-teamed consistently. J.J. Watt won his battle 22% of the time. All right, 22% of the time. And they've got stats for everything right now in the National Football League. Edge rushers with a better pass rush win rate than J.J. Watt in 2020, according to Adam Wexler. T.J. Watt, Jerry Hughes, Myles Garrett, Brian Burns, Joey Bosa, and Justin Houston. So in other words, only six guys won the battle more than he did, George. I don't think he's as done as you say is. If there's anybody, yeah, he's missed some games, but J.J. Watt's going to be focused, motivated. The guy's in great physical condition as well. Yeah, he's been injured in the past, but the numbers speak for themselves here. Only six guys had a better win rate, pass rush win rate in the NFL this year than J.J. Watt.
Yeah, maybe you're starting to understand why Russell Wilson wants to get out of the NFC West. Think about it. Watt, Jones, Bosa, Donald. Yeah, that's fun with an offensive line that's less than spectacular.
Well, I don't know how much longer Russell Wilson's going to be there. That's the big question. I'm saying it right now. I think this value, listen, you've got to wait a hell of a long time if you play this, right? That's the problem. You're waiting a long time if you play this right now. You're playing an NFL future, but Arizona won't be plus 550 when the season starts, trust me. There's going to be a ton of media hype about them. It'll be like plus, you know, 300 or something. And especially, we'll see what happens with Seattle. Like, are Seattle suddenly going to get better? If you're taking a speculative chance, you can only really speculate that they're going to get worse. So, look, the Rams are plus 175. San Francisco is plus 200. Seattle is plus 280. Arizona is plus 550 right now. If you were betting right now, who's going to win this division? Who are you taking, Kurtz?
I guess I'll drink the Kool-Aid with the Rams. You know, I love their defense as it is. Stafford should certainly help. I liked what we had with Akers at the end there, with him, his running ability. I'll drink the Kool-Aid with the Rams.
Yeah, you know what? To me, there's not enough value with the Rams. The Rams are good. The Rams are good, but I don't know how much better they are right now suddenly, right, with Stafford. I think people think they're suddenly better, or, you know, I think some people do. I think it could be a trap. San Francisco, I respect San Francisco, and I think they could be good, but there's so many unknowns about their roster right now. Seattle, a lot of unknowns about the Seahawks with Russell Wilson. And then you get the you got Arizona at plus 550. Looking at the NFC East right now, it's amazing to me. Every year the Cowboys blow, and every year they're favorites. And here we start the dance once again right now. The Dallas Cowboys are minus 105 favorites to win the NFC East. The Washington football team is plus 300. The Eagles are plus 440. And the New York Giants are 5-1. And the Giants will have Saquon Barkley back. Will he stay healthy? I don't know. But they will have Saquon Barkley back as well. These odds are whacked. There's no way in hell the Dallas Cowboys should be minus 105.
Well, for them to be minus 105, once again, they're assuming Dak resigns, or Dallas, you know, makes a weird trade for Russell Wilson or someone like that, that they'll have an established good quarterback, good to great quarterback. I think, for one, I think Dak stays on at least the franchise tag. Maybe they work out a long-term deal, but I have no faith in that. The problem is, if you're saying Dallas shouldn't be favorite, or if they're being favored too high, well, then who should be the favorite? You know, the Washington football team doesn't have a quarterback right now. All right, Heinicke, right now I guess he's the favorite, but they're going to try and move up to the draft to get one. Maybe they'll try and work out one of these bigger trades to try and get one. If the Washington football team, you know, if they get someone of Stafford's ilk or better and a wide receiver, this is a dangerous, dangerous team. That defense is there. You know, running game can be found. And we know that defense is damn good. That defensive line is dangerous. But they have to get the quarterback first. And I don't know if they're going to be able to work it out to get one this year. I don't think they're going to be able to get it during the draft unless you're willing to trade probably two future number ones to get to the top 10. And I don't know if they'll be willing to do that. Maybe they will.
They're clearly going to be engaged in some sort of quarterback move. They've told Alex Smith that he's no longer needed. Of course, Alex Smith said everyone thought it was a big love story and stuff, him coming back, but he said they actually weren't happy about it. They said that it caused problems for Washington, and he said that some on the coaching staff actually weren't so excited that he was back. There's a lot of question marks about the quarterback. Heinicke was very good. They came closer to beating Tampa than anybody else did, ironically.
Yeah, they did. And maybe they should have beaten a little bit better. They might. I mean, I like Heinicke. I think he'd be a very good number two. But I'm curious to see what Washington's going to do. You know, what do they pick? They're 19th in the draft, so they're not going to get someone to fall to them. All these quarterbacks now are being played up in the draft. So much talk. They're all going to be. Even Mac Jones is not going to last to 19. So I'm curious to see what Washington does. If they'll make a big play for I think Watson's going to end up being dealt, but I don't think Washington has enough capital to do it. I still think it's the Jets or the Dolphins because they pick top five where Houston could get a quarterback if they so want to. But Washington needs to do something. You know, so I'm curious to see what they're going to try and work out here. The Giants are a mess. Right, their defense played better last year, but they still need work there. You mentioned Barkley's back, but he has trouble staying healthy now. And I still don't know what to make of Daniel Jones. I don't think he's the answer, personally. And then you got the Eagles. They pretty much announced they're giving up this year. When you trade Wentz, you take all that dead cap hit. They're really playing for a year or two down the line. So they have issues as well. So I understand why Dallas is the favorite. Plus, everyone's going to bet on Dallas. You know, there's a lot of Dallas fans out there, so they're going to get the money bet on them. Vegas is looking to win money here. FanDuel's looking to win money. And people will bet on Dallas whether or not they're the best team or not.
For me, the two divisions that we've talked about so far, I like the long shots in both divisions. I like the Giants at 5-1 and Washington at 3-1. You know, you could take both teams, still make money. But you get Washington at plus 300, New York Giants plus 500. Other division prices right now, the Buffalo Bills, minus 170 favorites to win the division. The Miami Dolphins are plus 280. The Patriots are plus 480. And the New York Jets are plus 1600 right now. So if the Jets are plus 1600, then they don't believe that they're going to pick up Deshaun Watson. The book wouldn't have it this high if they were worried about that. Now, you can speculatively take it and roll the dice there. The Dolphins are a damn good team, George. They're going to be right there with the Buffalo Bills this year. The Bills at minus 170, not a great price for them to win a division. They should win a division, but it's not a great price.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you said it exactly correct. I think Buffalo will win the division, but Miami's an up-and-coming team. I mean, talk to me about Tua. Yeah, he was not good last year, but he'll second year should be better. Didn't have a training camp last year, at least not much of one. Didn't have the mini camp, so he should be better with a full off season. Assuming we have a full off season, which we really don't even know yet if they're going to be doing mini camps and such. And they'll upgrade his weapons. They have to upgrade his weapons. I mean, you ask the average football team, name the Miami Dolphins running back. Good luck. I mean, really good luck. So they have to do that. And another receiver there besides Parker. I mean, if they end up doing a trade with Houston, well, then everything's out the door, right? The Watson would go there, too. It gets traded. We'll see how it works out. But Miami has lots of cap room, lots of draft picks. I think they are a team that could threaten Buffalo. I don't think they will. I think Buffalo still wins the division, but they are a team, in my mind, that's next in line.
Well, speaking of Deshaun Watson, in NFL circles right now, guys, there's one team that seems to be the team that people think it's not quite done, but it's almost like that's the only team type of thing that it's going to happen with. And this team right now is plus 850 to win their division. All right? Now, this is a good gamble. I wanted to get to this and bring this up. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are minus 140 to win the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints are plus 200. The Carolina Panthers are plus 850. The Atlanta Falcons are plus 950. Don't forget, Deshaun Watson played at Clemson in South Carolina, George. So he's not opposed to going to the area. The Carolina Panthers owner is a very rich man. And he's put it out there, basically, that he wants Deshaun. He wants the centerpiece here of his franchise to be Deshaun Watson. And Teddy Bridgewater is available right now. And the thing is here, the guy that is running Carolina, one of the executive, like, vice president type deal of the Carolina Panthers, is extremely good friends with that Easterly guy in Houston. And it's sort of like the Rams and the Lions, George. That was a weird deal, and it was a big deal, with big contracts and draft picks that you don't normally see, but it was consummated between people that knew each other, right? The Lions' new GM was the Rams guy, right? So was the Rams player personnel director. So there was a relationship with Goff and with everybody, and there's a relationship here. Now, NFL people think, George, that, yeah, if Houston do this, they're going to end up doing it with Carolina due to the relationship. And Carolina can make it work as well. They've got a high draft pick. They've got Bridgewater. Like, they've got, you know, they got a quarterback if you need a quarterback to fill in for a year here or two with Bridgewater. It makes a lot of sense, George. The Carolina Panthers, Deshaun Watson, keep your eye on it.
It does. I mean, and Carolina was heavy at the Stafford. They were one of the teams that lost out. They were in on that as well, so they want a quarterback. I think if they're going to trade, assuming the Jets and or Miami are involved, they have more to give. They give two number ones this year, and I mean, the bidding starts at three number ones and then goes from there. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I think Carolina is there.
I don't think the Jets want to do it.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
I don't think the Jets want to do it. I think the Dolphins are thinking, what? We're already good. We don't need to like rip apart like our future, do you? We've got Tua. Bring it.
We are the first 24-hour network giving you the most extensive fantasy sports and odds coverage of all major sports.
Get on the grid.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bid it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Thank you very much, Krusty the Clown. The Late Night Anger Management class continues. I am Dave Lorenzi, SiriusXM Channel 204. Rick Saratella will join us from the NFL Draft, a Bible, working with SI.com as the draft is less than 2 months away. Right now, I'm very intrigued by these numbers right now with FanDuel. It sucks you got to wait so long, obviously, but that's why they're putting up some of the fat numbers. So the Buffalo Bills are -170 to win the AFC East. The Dolphins are +280. I agree. It's a conversation with George Kurtz. Listen, George, they got the third pick. They're playing with house money. They got the third pick of the draft. They can pretty much do whatever the hell they want to do. They can draft another offensive lineman and protect Tua. They do got to get some skill position players. They could take Jamar Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU. They could take Devontae Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama. Hell, they could take Waddle. A lot of people like Waddle as well. But they can go in a lot of different directions. Kyle Pitts, it might be a little, I don't know. Is number three too high for Pitts? Maybe not. Kyle Pitts out of Florida, the Florida Gators, he'd be a great acquisition for this team to go along with Gesicki that they already have. Pitts is more of a hybrid. So the Dolphins, the Dolphins really can just pick the best player they want. They've got a lot of good choices they can make with the third pick because they're already good.
Yeah, Mel Kiper actually has Pitts going to the Jets, I think, at four. He said the Jets going to trade down with Atlanta, I believe is what he says. So, Kiper loves Pitts. I don't think Pitts is going to go that high. Only because I think quarterbacks are going to, I think teams are going to trade up for quarterbacks. So I think if Miami, I agree with the players you named. I think if Miami stays at three, either you're taking Sewell because you want to protect them, or you're taking Chase or Devonta Smith because you want him to give him weapons. But either way, you have to build around Tua. But I wonder this, if you're Miami, if you're not going to take a quarterback, or you're not going to trade that pick away at three, it's probably some really good value by trading down then. Maybe with Carolina, go into eight. And let Carolina come and take their quarterback in the draft, yes, if that's what Carolina wants to do. If they have not, if they can't work out a trade for Watson or Russell Wilson or whoever else might be available. So I think that would be an option as well, because you have the third pick. If teams are going to spend a ransom wanting to move up to take whatever it might be, whatever quarterback falls that doesn't go 1-2, I think they might do that as well. Same thing with the Jets. If they truly do believe in Darnold, then they got to trade down as well. You know, and move on from there and acquire more draft picks. You're more than a quarterback away anyway. So I do wonder, once again, if Jets, Miami, if they don't make a trade for a quarterback or aren't going to draft a quarterback, and Miami's not going to draft a quarterback, then I think that you have to trade down to get that ransom of draft picks.
This is as unpredictable as of a draft as I can remember in modern history. It really is crazy. We know that Trevor Lawrence is going first overall. After that, all bets are off. We don't know who, where, when, what. Are the Jets going to take, are they going to keep the pick? Are they going to trade the pick? Are they going to draft a quarterback and trade Sam Darnold? Are they going to draft? Are they going to trade the pick and draft later? You mentioned it's a very good point. If Carolina gets shut out as far as a big-time major star quarterback that it looks like they're trying to get, they might make a move and try to move up and get a quarterback in this draft. It'll be interesting to see. Everybody's raving about Zach Wilson right now. I think people are forgetting about Justin Fields and how good Fields is. We'll talk about this with Rick Saratella. We'll get into the draft a little bit later on. So the Bills are minus 170, Dolphins plus 280, Patriots plus 480. People are wondering who the Patriots quarterback is going to be. Some people think the Patriots are going to draft Trey Lance if they get the opportunity to. The Jets are 16-1. AFC North odds right now, Baltimore Ravens plus 110, Cleveland Browns plus 200, Pittsburgh Steelers plus 280, Cincinnati Bengals 23-1. There is a lot of talk, and I don't know, I guess it's just annual talk whenever it comes to Odell Beckham, George, but there is a belief that even though the Browns don't suck, that Odell isn't overly enthusiastic about being there. Right, that he won't be opposed. If like you tell him you're trading him to a city that he likes, he's not going to say no. We'll put it that way.
I would agree, but I mean, would this be a trade that happens before the draft or on day one of the draft? Because wouldn't teams that want to acquire him, maybe we'll get that wide receiver in the draft on the first round if he falls to us. So I think he's more of a second day guy right now. You know, round two pick.
It
if you
could
have
be
that team
George like
before.
Stephon Diggs. Like, sort of like the Bills. Like, remember the Bills traded the pick to the Vikings, right? And the Vikings got Jefferson, who was good, but the Bills wanted Diggs now. The Bills were like, no. We don't want to get a young kid. We want to get this stud now. And I don't know. And also, the thing is, let's be real, I like Odell more than a lot of people do, but you're talking about J.J. Watt staying on the field. Can Odell Beckham stay on the field? That's the biggest concern. I'm not worried about his attitude. I'm worried about him staying on the field health-wise. That's why I'm worried about Odell.
He's only played 16 games one of the past 4 years, and that was in 19.
Wow.
Right, and now he's coming off an ACL as well? I'm not trading for him. I'm just anyway, 29 in November. It's not ancient, but it's middle age for a wide receiver. You know, so I think with his baggage that comes along too, I just don't see him getting anywhere near what Diggs got. Diggs had immense value. You know, I think he might get moved, but I don't think it'll be a great price here. I think Cleveland does realize, hey, we did pretty well without Beckham second half since he got hurt, right? Second half of the season here. Might have beaten KC if not for that, Rashard Higgins who tried to reach the ball over and fumbled into the end zone. Little knows how different a game that might have been. Hell, if they could have stopped Chad Henne on fourth down or third down, whatever it was, they might have won that game because Mahomes is out. So I don't think Cleveland's going, I don't think Cleveland would mind dealing him. I just don't think they'll be able to get the return that they would want to move him.
I think, though, they will. I think they could. I think they could. I don't think it's massive. You know what I mean? What they get for him, it'll be interesting to see. But I think, like you just said, they can look at it from the perspective of, listen, we were good without him. We were good without him. He doesn't like Baker Mayfield. All right? Let's just be real. We know this. He bites the bullet. He keeps his mouth shut about it for the most part. But Baker can't throw the ball down the field, bro. Right? Like, he's never really connected. There's been a couple of plays here and there, but, you know, Beckham was frustrated with Eli. You know, Baker's worse than Eli as far as getting Beckham the ball was concerned. So I think that's Beckham's deal, that even though Cleveland win games, number one, he doesn't like cold weather, Beckham. He didn't mind New York because it was, you know, media central. He lives in Los Angeles. He's been trying to get sent to the Chargers or the Raiders, to the Chargers or the Rams for a couple of years. He keeps pushing for like a California team. I don't know. You know, if I'm San Francisco, I have to do something for real. I mean, I don't think our roster is good enough, but I hear what you're saying as far as Odell. I don't think there'll be a million teams lining up, but it only takes one. And I think there'll be more than one that would take a long look at him. So the Browns are plus 200, Steelers plus 280, Bengals 2,300. The Colts with Carson Wentz plus 110, co-favorites with the Titans at plus 110, Houston Texans 10-1, Jacksonville Jaguars 13-1 in the AFC South right now, Kurtz.
Well, I think we can eliminate. I'm going to eliminate Houston. I'm going to eliminate Jacksonville. They're not going to win that division. The Colts, I mean, Tennessee's a football team, right? They're just a football team. They're not really great except for the running back. Oh, that they're a good football, good overall solid football team. Indianapolis is really, really good. I just don't know about Carson Wentz. Can anybody really tell you, oh, Wentz is going to be great now, be the guy he was? You know, there was a stat, speaking of stats for everything, he threw more interceptions when he wasn't pressured than when he was pressured. Which he's just all screwed up. Maybe Frank Reich can correct him, but I wonder if it takes more than one season to correct him to be that kind of guy. But if Wentz can be, I don't need him to be pre-ACL, you know, MVP Wentz when he might have won the MVP that season. I don't need him to be that. I just need him to be a good, solid quarterback, a little better than what Phillip Rivers was. And this is a dynamic team. They have everything in place. Good running game with Jonathan Taylor. Very good offensive line. Maybe the best in football. Solid wide receiver group. I don't know if they're bringing back T.Y. Hilton. The defense is there. I like what this team can do. They're a team that goes into the draft, really, hey, we'll just draft what we need. Best player available. Yeah, we don't have to. There's not one position here where they have to get here. But I don't trust Wentz, not this season. I'd probably go Tennessee.
They're both plus money, so it's plus 110. I like a little bit more value, but listen, I am a Tennessee fan. I do think they're good, but Indianapolis are better. Indianapolis are building up here, and I'm not a big Carson Wentz guy, but we're talking about a team that won double-digit games. They won 11 games with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback, right? And I think Frank Reich is that good. And there is the relationship between Carson Wentz and Frank Reich as well. So I think that if Carson Wentz isn't successful here, because in Philadelphia, everybody had an excuse for him, right? Oh, his offensive line is old and injured. He's running for his life. He doesn't have a running back. He doesn't have any wide receivers. Well, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of teams don't, and a lot of quarterbacks don't. But everybody had a lot of excuses for Carson. None of those excuses exist in Indianapolis, George. The offensive line is elite, right? They gave up the second least sacks in the NFL last year with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. That's all you need to know. So, after Green Bay. So their offensive line is elite. Jonathan Taylor is a stud. Michael Pittman Jr. is a stud. Doyle is a solid tight end. Hilton's getting up there. They need another wide receiver. They need some, you know, they need more wide receiver, another young guy in here. I get that, or a free agent, etc. Defensively, they've got some talent. I think they can improve their secondary a bit, but they're not far off at all, George, the Indianapolis Colts. They're contenders.
Oh, I agree. I think they have everything in place here to be there. I just don't trust Wentz. I mean, Rivers, if you wouldn't have watched the Bills-Colts in the playoffs, if you didn't watch the game, just looked at the stats, you're like, oh, Colts won the game. I mean, it just looked that way. But some mistakes they made as far as not converting, and Rivers was a joke at the end. He couldn't.
Yeah, it was Frank Reich. Some bad decisions too, George. That wasn't Rivers' fault.
Yes,
Frank,
that's what I mean. So there were some bad decisions there, and Buffalo took advantage of it, no doubt. But I like Reich as well, as you said there. And Rivers, and you make a great point, by the way, because Rivers wasn't all that great either, and they won 11 games. So Wentz doesn't need to be great. And I agree with you. But I just don't trust the man. I just don't, not this year. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Wentz to perform because of everything we're talking about in Indianapolis. Everything's in place. He'll have no excuses anymore. And I don't know if he can handle it.
I like Rivers better than Wentz, even at this stage of their life, like, to be honest. Like, I do. But, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's more upside with Wentz. So we'll see if Frank Reich could bring that out. Kansas City are monster favorites, minus 400. The Chargers are plus 420. The Raiders are 14-1. The Broncos are 18-1. The Broncos are another team, George, that some people believe that there's a puncher's chance that they get Deshaun Watson as well.
I guess, once again, there is a puncher's chance, of course. Well, I'm not really buying it. No, I wonder if they're gonna trade up to draft the quarterback. Do they believe in Locke? He didn't look all that great last year. Some good moments, but other than that, not all that great.
No, they tried to trade him twice already.
Will they go to the? I mean, will they go to the well again? Or hope one of the top five falls to Mac Jones, falls to him at 9, whatever it might be, Fields, whoever. I mean, will they draft another quarterback? Because everything else, once again, does seem to be in place. The defense is decent, solid running game, nothing great, but solid. And the receivers are all there. They have receivers up the wazoo. So they just need someone to get the ball to a good tight end as well here. Got to find the quarterback. And they're sort of like the Giants with Daniel Jones. I'm just not sure. I don't think Locke is the answer there.
You know, well, this is I'm not going to say make or break year for Daniel Jones, but let's see what he can do. Let's see if they get some weapons as well. Let's see if what the Giants are going to do. They've had skill position issues. Saquon Barkley's been injured. If Barkley can stay on the field, that's really going to help Daniel Jones. Jones really hasn't had Barkley much, George. Let's be real. It's not easy. Bad offensive line, Lane Gallman's your running back. It's not like he's been in a great situation. We'll wrap up with Kurtz on the other side.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This is the winning edge.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Three-minute warning, level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Dave Lorenzi. We're kicking it with George Kurtz just for a couple of more moments. George, I brought this up earlier, and I want to get your take on the overnight NHL lines, but I brought this up earlier. I was unaware of this. So Garrett Richards today, he was the first guy to get saved by this, the mercy rule. So basically in spring training, guys, the managers and the league has agreed to this, that you can end the inning if you want. If the pitcher has pitched more than 20 pitches in the inning, it doesn't matter how many out there are or how many runners are on base, you can end it. So Garrett Richards today in the first inning for the Red Sox had the bases loaded. He already walked a run in, and he was 23 pitches deep, and they stopped the inning. They just stopped the inning, and he went 1-2-3 in the second after. They sent him back out in the second, George. So I'm just bringing this up for those of you that are going to be betting on this stuff, which could be pretty frustrating.
Well, not to mention they can play a 5-inning game if they want, a 7-inning game if they want, or go 9. Yeah, I think the 5 innings for the first week of the season you're allowed to. Then maybe it's seventh's first 2 weeks, something silly like that, before they get back to a real baseball. It is what it is. I mean, it's spring training. I guess I don't care. It is strange. You want to protect the pitchers? Fine. It doesn't really bother me. Spring training is going to get old real quick. Real quick, we're going to be like, oh, can we get this over with and get to the regular season already? So, listen, I don't think it makes a difference as far as protecting pitchers. I really don't. I doubt it. It helps anybody at all. But whatever, it is what it is. But if you are going to bet, make sure you know if they're going to play a 5-inning game or a 7-inning game.
Yeah, but my deal is, so why argue that it doesn't matter? Why argue that it doesn't matter, it's just a spring training? Then why not just leave the pitcher out there if he gives up a million runs then anyways and say it doesn't matter, it's just spring training? It seems to me like they're just using a pandemic to bastardize the game more and more. And a lot of their dumb little spring training ideas become real, George. Suddenly we're playing 7-inning doubleheaders again this year. All right, so Islanders, Devils, who you got tomorrow, Kurtz?
Give me the Islanders, man. Sorokin should be in net for them. They're playing well.
All right, George, Kurt, Sports Grid. Thanks, George.
Anytime. Be good.